Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. We're a live radio show. Did you know that? And we call it, or I call it, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. What does that mean exactly? That means I can say whatever the heck I want to say and get away with it. No, I'm joking. That just means, we say what we want to say, but remember, just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it. So this is all based on hospitality things. You know, we can be talking about trends. We can talk about service. We can talk about whatever. So there's no limit to what we can talk about. And we can say what we want to say. If I have a feeling about certain things, then, you know, I'm going to say it. That's okay, right? So anyway, welcome to the show. I appreciate you guys joining me. We are live. Some people don't know that, think we're just strictly a podcast. Well, we become a podcast after the show is over, right? But right now we're live. So every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. My goodness. Anyway, that wasn't good, right? Today's Taco Tuesday. So let me get on the subject of food, right? So Taco Tuesday, always a good thing. Of course, you know, I put my meat and my veggie stuff out before I left. I took it out of the freezer so when I get home, I can prepare it for tonight's Taco Tuesday fiesta. Okay, so that's a staple at the house. So every Tuesday, I do that. So in probably every show, I think I mentioned Taco Tuesday, at least every other show. So it's been the last couple weeks, been pretty tough. Tough, you know, as far as life is concerned. You know, I lost two friends in the last 2 weeks, right? These are two friends that I actually went to Cal Poly with, Cal Poly Pomona. For everybody listening, that, you know, they're Broncos like I am. So lost two of them, Tony Pelly and Charles North. So this show dedicated to them. And also my dad, I think I mentioned last week or the week before, he's in the hospital. So prayers to him. If you guys pray, I mean, please send a prayer for him as well. A little shout out. But yeah, so, you know, it's been, like I said, it's been tough. You know, when you lose two friends that are, you know, relatively your same age, you guys kind of went from, you know, 18 years old to, you know, to now, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's not, you know, it's life. I understand it's life, but, you know, it does get tough sometimes. But anyway, you know, enough of that stuff, right? We're at Hospitality Unplugged. We're on air with Russell of Hotels. Last week I was in Vegas, right? I did the show remote from the Hyatt Place in Silverton, which was a great experience. I did enjoy the hotel, enjoyed Stephanie and the general manager, Angela. It was great to interview Angela Roberts last week. Talked about, you know, opening the hotel and all the things that come along with that. And the first person she hired was the director of sales, who was Stephanie, and who just so happened that I worked at the same hotel probably, I don't know, 10 years before she did. But it's just interesting how, you know, years later you link up and then you have these things in common. That's the hospitality industry, right? That's just how it is. That's part of that hospitality unplugged. So I was at IMEX last week, trade show. So, right, it's like, I don't know, 10,000 people, you know, coming in and out of there, kind of a flow. But at least 3,500 exhibits and things like that. So I had, how many appointments did I have? Probably, I don't know, 5 to 9 per day. But total, I just happened to be reading an article before I got here, and it said over 76,000 appointments were made during that time. I mean, that's everyone that goes, right? You know, everybody that, every supplier, there's suppliers and planners. So I'm a planner or a buyer is what they call it. So meaning I bring business to the hotels or destinations and things like that, right? And then there's suppliers who supply, you know, the rooms or the transportation, whatever that is. So those are the suppliers. So a CVB or a hotel or a DMC that, you know, offers, you know, transportation, things like that, that would, they would be suppliers, right? So buyers meet with suppliers. And that was, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work though, a lot of walking around. I think I put average of, you know, 12,000 steps per day on, you know, on the showroom floor. Cause the thing is huge. I mean, it's massive. So if you ever get a chance to go to IMEX, it's in Vegas every year. There's an IMEX in Frankfurt, Germany as well. But I hear Vegas is like the, you know, the one you need to go to. So there's people from around the world that are there as well. So I'm in my second bottle of Perrier. So just so you know, it's one of those days. It's a Perrier kind of day. So thank you for the people that are not looking, watching on Facebook Live. I have some Perrier that I'm drinking, okay, just so you know, just in case, you know, I stop talking and you hear a gulp, you know, that means I'm drinking some Perrier. So anyway, it was a great show. IMEX, I was there from Monday through, I came back on Thursday. And then, you know, between, you know, all the appointments and things like that there, and the evenings there's, you get, you know, people that may have sponsored you, or hotel companies or DMCs or whatever, CVBs that may have sponsored you to attend, they have shows that they take you to, or dinners or lunches or whatever the heck it is. I mean, some people went to see Bruno Mars. I'm like, I wasn't on that list. Thanks, Marriott. But, you know, I wasn't on that list to go see Bruno Mars. But I know a couple of my colleagues were, and I'm sure that was a great show. So thanks, Marriott, for, you know, entertaining the people that I know. Industry news. Enough of that stuff. Industry news. Hey, you remember we talked about resort fees maybe briefly last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But now I'm going to go into detail on this resort fees because this stuff is really starting to bug me, okay? And I'm sure it's bugging other people, you know, on the individual basis as well as the group basis. Now, see, when you're dealing with groups, meaning if you have 1,000 rooms that are coming to a hotel or a destination, you know, they're more likely to either reduce or probably get away from that fee at all, right? You can negotiate it down, or maybe even they take it off the plate, you know, totally, which would be a good thing. But for individual people, you know, if an individual reservation, you know, I'm going to Vegas, normally they won't take it off. I mean, that's just, you just got to pay for it, right? And normally I think, one thing that I forgot to do was check on the websites. You know, if I'm making a reservation, say at the SLS in Vegas, does it say that I have, oh my goodness, somebody's trying to call me. Do they know I'm doing a radio show? What the heck? Who does that, right? Maybe I should have turned the phone off, huh? Excuse me, but yeah, I lost my train of thought now. See, now what was I talking about? I was talking about the fees, the resort fees. So normally they won't take it off for an individual reservation. So, and I think on the site, if you go to a website and you're making it, like I said, at the SLS, does it say that, you know, we're charging $45? Because that's how Marriott got in the trouble. And I think I mentioned this. They got into trouble because they were hidden fees. Meaning if you're upfront and you're telling people that it's okay, it's going to be $45 per night, per room for a resort fee, then okay, at least you know, buyer beware, click on it, okay, I'm paying for the room rate plus the $45. But if you're checking out and they say, oh, by the way, bam, $45, that's a little different, right? So I'm not sure, because I did not look at the, I didn't check any websites to see, you know, after you made the reservations, or if you're in the reservation process, did it mention that? So I'll make sure I check that out and then report that. But I listed like four or five hotels that have, or they charge a resort fee, and what that resort fee is, plus what does it cover. So I just thought I wanted to share that with you guys, if that's okay. So resort fees, what do they cover? And do we actually use what's covered? Now, this is from me, right? This is me talking. Hospitality Unplugged, right? I'm going to say whatever I want to say regarding this subject. Hotels will negotiate rate for groups, less likely for transient rooms. The transient room is basically a single reservation coming in, not attached to a group. That's a transient reservation, not a homeless person, okay? Because that's what we think. excuse me. So what does that include? Okay, some of them include bottled water. Wasn't bottled water free? Now all of a sudden it's absorbed in this resort fee. Pool usage. It's not free to use the pool. Food and beverage credits. Some of them do include food and beverage credits. Dog treats. I'm traveling. I don't have a dog. Why am I being charged a resort fee for the dog treats? And notary services or package handling. I'm not having a package delivered, nor do I need notary services. And don't notary services, aren't those, you know, the notary charges you for a signature. So why would the hotel charge you for that when that notary shouldn't be? The notary could be an independent person just, you know, there, you know, to make money. I mean, because they get, I don't know, $10, $15, $20 per signature or something like that. So why do we need to absorb that cost in this resort fee? I don't know. But those are things that make you go, So that's kind of suspect, right? Bellagio Las Vegas, they charge $45 per night per room. High-speed internet, this is what it includes. The high-speed internet access throughout the hotel, unlimited local and toll-free calls from your guest room. Who calls from the phone anymore? Unless you're calling room service. And even that's about to go away, because a lot of them have the touch, the pads and things like that, the iPads where you can actually, you know, make reservation or make reservations or room service orders and things like that. So you're not even, it's very seldom that you're even going to a hotel and even picking up the phone and calling anybody. But I'm just telling you, I'm just letting you know what this is. Unlimited access, toll-free calls from your room, fitness center, airline boarding, printing, and notary service. So that little computer that's over in the corner, that you say, hey, I need to, you know, print out my boarding pass for Southwest Airlines. Shouldn't we be using our phones for that? Well, I mean, most people do, but obviously not all people do. So that's what's included at the Bellagio. Now, this gets away from Vegas, right? Now, Vegas is the one that started this back probably 20 years ago with this resort fee, because it had to do with the developers or the owners of these hotels. They wanted to recoup some of the money that they spent, you know, putting these mega hotels up. So they said, what can we come up with? So they came up with resort fees. So, and that's kind of spread from Vegas to everywhere else. Here in LA, you know, there's hotels that have resort fees. I mentioned urban fees. I mean, those are the hotels that are in the ghetto, I guess. I don't know what the urban fee is, but hotels will be creative about what they call it. Resort fees, urban fee, service fee, I don't know, experience fee, fun fee. I don't know what it is, but it comes at another cost. So just so you know, Fairmont and Copley Plaza, Boston, they charge $30 per night. Daily, they give you a $25 food and beverage credit, though, right? So if you order something $100, you can get $25 off, right? So, okay, I'm only going to pay $75, okay? So that's okay. The resort fee is okay in that case, I guess. Bottle water, two bottle waters, okay? Is that per day? I guess, yeah, per day and in your guest room. Free Wi-Fi. Now, I know you get the basic Wi-Fi. So just remember, just because you got Wi-Fi does not mean you can stream all your videos. You can't go to Netflix and all that stuff, right? You would have to pay for that type of Wi-Fi experience, or, you know, because you're going to get more bandwidth if you pay. This is just basic that everyone is paying. Everybody's using it. So if I'm at a 1,000-room hotel and I get free Wi-Fi, guess what? I'm sharing that with every other person that's in the hotel, unless I get the high speed, you know, the next step up. So free is just basically you'd be thankful if you can just check your email, but you're not going to be able to stream and things like that, because like I said, you're sharing that with everyone else that has the basic free Wi-Fi. So that's why it's slow. And on a ship, well, I can just, let me just say, I was on Princess Cruises going to Alaska, and it was the worst Wi-Fi ever. Okay. Complain, and they finally took, you know, something off of it, but it should have been free, because like I said, and the guy even admitted, because most hotels don't even know, or they won't even admit that you're sharing that same bandwidth with everyone else on the ship, right, or in the hotel. But he did, because I kind of, you know, shared some knowledge that I knew. I said, well, am I sharing this with everyone else? I mean, what is it? What's the bandwidth? So he's like, well, what do you know about that? I said, I know, I'm a hotel person. So it's not working. So how can you get it to work for me? So that's when he went in and said, well, yeah, you're getting the basic. Now, if you want to pay for it, then I said, no, I don't want to pay for it. It should be included. But anyway, Intercontinental in Chicago, $12.55 per day, daily bottle of water in the guest room, 24 hour access to the fitness center, indoor pool, free Wi-Fi, and free calls from your guest room. That's only $12.55 in Chicago. I stayed at that hotel, so that's actually pretty good. The Kempton Epic in Miami, $29. You get to use, you know, get one fitness class at the XL Mind and Body Spa, daily Cuban coffee break at 3 o'clock. I guess it's like a high tea. In their living room, which is their lobby. Turn down service. So you got some value add, and then plus your smart devices you can use for a press reader, which includes more than 7,000 periodicals, printing services, and up to 10, you can print up to 10 pages per day if you needed that from the business center or whatever. Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi, and comp local and toll-free calls from your guest room. So is that good? $29 for all that? I mean, if you add more things to it, then I guess it's okay, because every hotel does not do the resort fee, but every hotel has the opportunity to do it, right? So it's not illegal to do it. I wouldn't even say it's unethical if you don't tell anybody that you're doing it. Like say Marriott did, that was kind of unethical. We're still in court, so you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, I guess. But if you're not telling anybody that you're throwing this fee on top of it, that is unethical. So my advice to everybody, when you're making a reservation, ask that extra question. Does this include, or do you have a resort fee? If they don't have it, then keep it moving. But if they do, you need to know what it is. And, you know, buyer beware before you make that click. You know, okay, before you give that credit card number or they give you that confirmation number, make sure you know what you're paying for, or what, you know, how much the resort fee is and what it includes. And don't be afraid to make mention that, hey, I'm not using those things. I don't need the notary service. I don't have a dog, so I don't need your doggy treats. Just make sure you mention those things. I would. The Nomad Hotel in LA, they charge $27.50 per room, exclusive access to the rooftop pool, priority dining reservations. What if I don't want to eat in their restaurant? And a contribution towards preserving the historic status of the hotel. Now, that's a good one. Okay, so if it's a historic hotel and you're paying $27.50, well, then I'll be okay with, you know, a couple dollars going towards that. Oh, my God, that was a good one. So I think I beat that one to death. So I'm going to let that go on the resort fee. So whatever they call it, resort fee, service fee, urban fee, whatever it is, buyer beware. Just make sure you're asking the right questions. And like I said, make sure it's something that you're using. And don't be afraid to question the hotel, the front desk, especially when you're either checking in or you're checking out. Like, hey, I wasn't happy with this. I wasn't happy with that. You charge this resort fee and I didn't use this. I didn't use that, whatever. So just throw that out there. See what happens. A closed mouth won't get fed. You ever heard that term before? So there you go. What is meeting influencer marketing? You know, I always get on this marketing things every now and then. because I talk to marketers all the time, people in social media, people that were, you know, old school marketers and things like that. And we always come back with, you know, is the hospitality industry doing a good job of doing, of taking advantage of all the tools that are out there for marketing? And it always comes back like, they could be doing a lot better. We'll just put it like that. So what is meeting influencer marketing? It's used to drive traffic and awareness to your events. Corporate influencer marketing works because it uses tactics like word of mouth and social proof, which are critical aspects of any successful marketing effort. Customers trust their peers. So meaning, would you rather someone, a hotel just, let's take it from this standpoint. Let's take it from, okay, I'm a meeting planner and I'm trying to grow my attendance. Okay, let's take it from that standpoint. My attendance has been down. What do I do to get my attendance up? So using people that you may know or people that are in your industry that you kind of trust and you believe in or you respect, that's where that meeting influencer marketing comes in. Because if you see people that you know that are going to this meeting or they're talking about it, they're putting things on social media, you're more likely to go than if they're just doing some mass promotion. Oh, come to this and, you know, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. But if it's someone that's trusted, that you trust to go, then that makes a lot of difference. Let's just compare that. On TV, you see a lot of advertising. Do we actually, because who's the guy that does this? He does a lot of commercials. I can't even think of what his name is. Randy Quaid. I think his last name is Quaid. I think it's Randy Quaid. He does a lot of commercials. Okay, he's paid to do that stuff, right? Well, so I guess some of the influencers are paid to do that too, right? But they're people that actually maybe a little bit more down to earth, or maybe you know, or maybe you trust them a little more than an actor. Okay, an actor that's making millions of dollars, but you see this social media person that's there, that's actually experiencing the things that you want to experience, right? And maybe they're part of that same group. Right. Or maybe like, let's say me, let's just use me as an example. I'm a hotel person. Right. So I go to these events or whatever. I was at IMAX. I was taking pictures at my IMAX. I posted them on my social media posting. So would you trust me? And the way I do the marketing, I'm not in most of the pictures. You get people that are all in most of the pictures. They want to show them. I'm not trying to show me. I'm trying to show where I am. Right. Because I want to entice people to use that. And I'm not getting paid for that stuff. I'm just there taking pictures and I'm posting it because I want people to engage with me. Okay. Yeah. I like to get paid. Don't get me wrong, but most of the stuff that I'm posting, I'm not getting paid for that. I'm just posting it because it's part of the industry. It's part of what I do. And it's a reference for me. Right. So if I'm at IMAX and I meet so-and-so and I'm looking to pick, you know, I get their booth in the background. It's, you know, something I remember, you know, kind of thing, just in case I have to go back and I met that what's one person, I can't remember the booth they were in or which destination they actually represented. I can go back and as a reference and say, oh, that was Vela's Resort. Okay, that's who that was. Okay, so I can go back. So that's why I started doing this stuff, I don't know, several years ago. I started posting things that will help me remember where I was or remember that particular destination or hotel or whatever it was. So those are things that I do. So that it goes with that same meeting influencer marketing. So you're trying to build your meeting attendees. How do you do that? So my question to you guys or whoever's listening, the three people that are listening, what do you use to promote your meetings to get more people to come? That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure the phone line is not lighting up, so no one's calling in, but maybe, you know, email me and let me know what you do. What else? Social media influencers will drive event trends. So these are top five. I only put one. Top five favorite meeting industry trends for 2019. I only listed one, and it had to do with the same thing I just talked about: social media influencers. What tools do you use to create a frenzy so people will attend your events? You know, how do you create that FOMO? Remember, a while back I was talking about FOMO. FOMO is fear of missing out, right? So let's just use, I'm going to use Vegas as an example. So I'm in Vegas and we go to Dre's nightclub, right? I think it was on the last night, Wednesday night. Everybody was there. It must have been 2,500 people there, wall to wall from, I'm not sure if you've been to Dre's before, but there's a nightclub and then there's the pool. But if you open them all up, it's all one. You're just going in, you know, from the pool to the nightclub or whatever, but it can be closed off. Well, we had the entire Dre's, right? Upstairs, downstairs, pool, the nightclub, the bars, everything. We had all that. It was wall to wall people in there. I posted pictures and people just, I mean, it just created this frenzy like, oh, you're at Dre's and this and that, whatever, whatever. You know, all this, you know, engagement that I started getting because of the pictures I was showing, you know, the DJ, the things that come along with the DJ, you know, the steam coming out the ceiling, the lights flashing, all that stuff, and people dancing. I mean, people were on that dance for all night from when we got there to, I don't know, 2 a.m. when most of us left, right? And we weren't walking straight when we left, just so you know. But anyway, that's another story. That's a subject for another time. But we had a good time. So it creates that FOMO. So can you create the FOMO? Do you want to create the FOMO? Do you want to get somebody to create the FOMO to make sure your events are on point or people are attending your events? Because I remember before, I mean, I just heard that I've heard about Dre's for years. That was my first experience there. But all I had to hear was that the event was at Dre's. I didn't have to see anything. I didn't have to see any social media postings and things like that. I was going to go because I'd never been there, right? So thank you to Abby Fernandez for sponsoring me to go. And she's at the, hotel in Hawaii. It's in Hawaii. Oh my goodness. I'll think about it in a minute, Abby. But Abby Fernandez, she got me in. So I do appreciate you. So that's social media influencers. That's one of the trends. So hire a social media influencer to help you grow your events. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what it came down to. Okay. My contact information. See, I've been on all this stuff and I haven't even shared my contact information with you yet. And it's already 1:26. Now see, that tells you I have a good time doing this show. I mean, just talking about things and hopefully you get something out of it and it makes sense or it's fun for you too. So, because I do love doing it and I hope you appreciate that I love doing it. How do you contact me? Russell@russellofhotels.com. Excuse me, I had to take a drink of my Perrier. So email's Russell@russellofhotels.com. You can send me anything. Send me an email. You like the show, you don't like the show. You wish I would talk about this, talk about that. Give me subjects, whatever. Twitter @RussellofHotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edman. Facebook, 2 pages, Russell L. Edman, and then Russell of Hotels. Website is RussellofHotels.com. And I mentioned earlier, this is a live show every Tuesday at 1 p.m. PST. That means Pacific Standard Time. It's live, right? But after the show's over, it becomes a podcast. Give me, you know, like 20 minutes after the show's over, it becomes a podcast because it's then put on, you know, Spotify or iTunes or Google Play or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. That's where it is. Sponsorship opportunities. I also have that, right? I don't know if you can see my logo right there. Just picture your logo there. You know, I get tons of people to look at the show. They look at it as well as they listen to it. So, and I always mention whoever is sponsoring my show, I always mention it. So this show is actually sponsored by Russell of Hotels. There you go. So those opportunities are there. So if you have, you know, special promos you want to put out there, career opportunities, advertising for your brand, just reach out to me at email me at russellofhotels.com, russell@russellofhotels.com. And we can discuss, you know, what's going on. What is the Russell of Hotels group? First and foremost, I do hotel site selection. So my job is to assist companies, organizations, or even individuals that have, you know, group rooms. My job is to find a right hotel for them or destination or whatever they're looking for. So specifically hotel rooms. So 10 rooms or more is considered a group. So my job is to find a hotel that fits within your budget, that works for your program. And that can be, it starts off at 10 rooms. That's the minimum, but it can go, you know, 1,000 rooms, 5,000 rooms. You're going to Vegas and you have this huge event, 10,000 rooms, whatever it is, just let me know. My job is to find what you're looking for, right? So that's part of what I do, digital marketing. You look at any of my social media pages, that's what I do. I mean, I do videos. I've done well over 200 videos for hotels or destinations, restaurants, things like that. Hotel task force. Task force means a hotel has a vacancy or they have, somebody maybe they're out on some type of leave or maybe they lost someone. Well, anywhere there's a void in the department. So if that's a general manager or a director of sales and marketing, I can sub in until they find a person, you know, that is going to take over that position. Person's on vacation, say they're gone for 2 weeks. You don't want to have your hotel sitting around for 2 weeks without a general manager. So I come in and just assume their responsibilities for those 2 weeks until they come back. And then I go back to doing what I was doing. And then the GM who was there, who was on vacation, or the new GM comes in and jumps right back in. So that's what a task force person does. Business development, I've mentioned that, but I'm going to bypass that one. And in another week, I should have a little bit more on that. But it should be some good news. So stay tuned for that. And I'm a radio show host. That's what I've been doing for the last 30 minutes, blabbing about, you know, industry things, hospitality industry things. So I interview today's hospitality professionals. And if I'm not interviewing hospitality professionals, I'm doing a hospitality unplug, and I'm just talking about random stuff. That's stuff that people want to hear, stuff that I want to hear. It just depends. So that's what I do. Interview today's hospitality professionals. In fact, I have a couple coming up. Who's on blast? You know, every week I talk about who's on blast, and some people think, oh, that's a bad thing to be on blast. No, it's not. These are people that have a lot of respect for, people I want on the show, because everybody has their own story, right? Everyone has a unique story. I have a unique story. I mean, I didn't come up the way everybody else did, right? So I came up, I did the hotel thing, the GM thing, the DOS thing, and then I said, I'm going to do the entrepreneur thing, right? So everyone doesn't follow that path. So everyone has unique stories, so I want those people with the unique stories. It's not always about, oh, he's been in the industry a long time or she's been in the industry a long time. Okay, that's fine. I want a unique perspective about their experience, you know, how they came up, what they did to get to where they are now. So it's just sharing things because you never know who's coming behind you, right? And that's one thing that I always want to do is whoever's coming up behind me, you don't want to discourage them. Why would you want to go in the hotel industry? Oh, that's crazy. A lot of hours. Okay, it is. But anything's a lot of hard work, right? But how did you get to where you are? And now I'm getting, you know, I was not used to dealing with that before, but now I am. And I'm like, well, obviously people are interested. And this is a way of giving back, right? So you come on, you talk about your stuff. You never know who is listening or who is watching you. So always be mindful of that, right? So you carry yourself a certain way. It's all about your brand, right? Not about the brand that you work for. It's about the brand that you are, right? Because there's two different brands. It's your brand, you as a person, and the brand that you're working for. So always keep that in mind. I'm always mindful of that when I'm out, when I'm doing things. I mean, am I portraying the type of brand that I want? You know, I mean, we all cut loose every now and then, but do you cut loose and realize that you're cutting loose and then you're like, okay, let me bring it back a little bit, or you just let it go and whatever? Well, hopefully I'm not one of those people that just let it go and whatever. I'm, you know, kind of mindful of the brand because, you know, you work hard to build your brand, right? And you don't want to just, you know, I was going to say piss that brand away. Well, there you go. Piss it away or something like that. You don't want to do that. So make sure. So that's the reason why I did this on blast. So those are people that I want on the show. Now, the first one on my list here now is Brian Churchill, VP of LA Tourism, right? LATCB. Now, I saw him at IMAX, and I don't think I even mentioned it this time. And he was just, you know, you always greet him. You know, Brian went to Cal Poly as well. So just so you know that, right? So we're both Cal Poly alums. And, you know, we always greet each other. We always, you know, always happy to see each other. And we always say, you know, hey, what's going on? What you been working on? Blah, 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 blah. And then he got quiet. I said, Brian, I said, now, and I mentioned the radio show. I didn't say anything about him being on blast. I just mentioned the radio show. I said, you know, still doing a radio show. In fact, I did it today. That was last Tuesday, right? I saw him after the show. And he said, yeah. I keep hearing that I'm on this list and this and that. So it's working. It's just that people they don't want to acknowledge it, right? But the way I set this up was that for it to organically get to people. I mean, I can pick up the phone and call people and say, hey, I want you on the show, but that's not how I want it. I wanted to do the show, talk about it, and have other people that are listening let those people know that, hey, Russell put you on this blast thing on his radio show or whatever. So that's how I wanted it to go across, and that actually worked, right? Well, it's been working, but Brian actually acknowledged that it did work. He said, yeah, I heard him on blast. And this, I said, well, Brian, why don't you call me and, you know, we can get you on the show. He said, oh, I've just been so busy. And I said, Brian, when you're going to that meeting on Tuesday at one, you know, at say 12:30 or whatever, and you got a couple minutes to be on the show, my show starts at 1 o'clock, and we can do it wherever. You don't have to come into the studio. We can do it remote. I did the show from Vegas remote. So you have a telephone, I'll give you a number, you can call in, and we can go from there. People will never know that you're not, you know, in the studio or at wherever. We're not together unless I, you know, I'll mention and say, you know, Brian's remote and wherever he is, and then we go from there. But it's just an opportunity for people to listen and get another perspective on someone that they may respect, they may want to emulate, or they may want to follow that same career path that they did. You know, as crazy as it sounds, we all have a story to tell. And I keep saying that, a story to tell. So, but that was funny that Brian, you know, he finally acknowledged, and I knew he had heard, but I didn't push it because I wanted it to happen organically. So thank you, Brian. I'm going to reach out to you now. Now the ball's in my court. So the ball's in my court to set up a time where we can meet. Kenya Bannister, VP Long Beach CVB, you're on blast, okay? Just come on the show. I mean, you can call in too. And you have an interesting story too. I used to, you know, anyone that used to work for me or work together, you know, we all have interesting stories. So you need to come on the show and share some of the stories of, you know, where you started, when we met, and all that kind of stuff. So this, you know, that would be a great show. Luis Torres, my guy at Universal Studios, he has a unique story too. We all have unique stories, right? But we have to be able to tell those stories. So Luis Torres, you're on blast, okay? Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism. She used to be with the Garland Hotel. You're on blast, lady. Met you a couple weeks ago in Chicago. You're on blast. Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond. You know what? They said that they'll be on the show, but then they got busy and this and that. And, you know, give me a couple weeks and then. No, you're on blast now, okay? See, before you weren't on blast, you were saying you're going to be on the show, but now I don't have a definitive date. So guess what, Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond with Sync Meeting Management, you're on blast, okay? So thank you very much. Sarah Dendashi, she's not on blast. She's already agreed to be on the show, but I just want to let you guys know. She's her tag name or her name that she goes by on social media is called Ask a Concierge. She's great. She travels around the world doing her concierge thing. So probably those hard to get tickets and things like that. You call up Sarah, she hooks you up, right? She takes care of that stuff. So we want the concierge. She'll be the first concierge we've had on the show, right? So she's going to set the bar and let us know how to find things, how to get things. Or no, we don't want to know. We just want to call and get those things taken care of, right? So how do I get this? How do I get these tickets to, you know, these hard to get places or hard to attend concerts or whatever? That's what we're going to ask Sarah about. Okay. Thank you to Doug Caldwell at the Sahara Hotel and Casino in Vegas. Now, did you know that the Sahara was formerly, well, let me back up. Let's back up here. Back in the day, and I'm saying, I don't know, the 60s, 50s, the Sahara was one of the original hotels that was built in Vegas. Okay, well, someone bought it and it became the SLS. Okay, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it became, or they're rebranding it back to the Sahara. So the SLS that, you know, a lot of us knew for the last, I think, 6 or 7 years is now the Sahara again. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, there was no reference point for the SLS. I don't even know what that even meant. And I don't even know if the people that work there know what SLS means. But everybody, you know, identified with the Sahara because the Sahara was, that was old school. That was, you know, Dean Martin, the Rat Pack, you know, hangout, that kind of stuff. So everyone knew about the Dan Tanner. Do you guys remember the show Vegas? And I'm dating myself. It was, I guess it was on 80s, 90s. I don't know. But Dan Tanner was a detective. I can't think of what the guy, Robert Urich was. God, I can't remember that. Robert Urich was the actor. He was a detective, and his name was Dan Tanner. And he used to hang out. I don't know if he hung out at the Sahara, but the Sahara was one of the hotels they showed that he, or he would go into it that he frequented. So it was one of those hotels back in the day. So people identify with it, but then somebody bought it and then they changed to SLS and people are like, what the heck is the SLS? Or where is that at? Or what's going on there? But they're going through a $150 million renovation now as we speak. I was there last week in Vegas. I stayed there for 2 nights. So I'm thanking Doug Caldwell, who is the national sales director for the SLS for the Sahara, as well as the GSR Hotel in Reno, which stands for Grand Sierra Resort. Okay, so he handles both of those hotels. So he took care of me, and Doug, I do appreciate you. Like I said, they're going through $150 million renovation as we speak. So look for more things. And you heard it here, right? Because a lot of people didn't even know during the show, I'm saying to SLS. Well, now it's the Sahara. What? I didn't know that. They're rebranding? Yeah, they're going back. Why they even change it? And that sparks another conversation. Why they even change it from, you know, Sahara to SLS? But anyway, it's going back to Sahara now, so that's okay. So there you go. Congrats to Angela Wei, and that's Wei is spelled H-U-I. Now, she's the new DOSM, Director of Sales and Marketing, at the Marriott Riverside Convention Center. Now, Angela used to be at the Ontario CVB for, I don't know, extended period of time, and she's also a Cal Poly graduate. Now, of course, she wasn't there when I was there, but I met her a while back doing a site or fam trip in Ontario, so that's where I knew her from. I didn't know that she was even at the Marriott until yesterday. She just happened to email me and said, hey, how things going? Just so you know, I'm at the Marriott in Riverside. I'm like, I didn't even know that. So guess what? I'm going to put you on blast. No, that's not on blast. I'm going to mention you on the show. So there you go. Little shout out to Angela Wei. So, hey, Angela. I'm not even sure if she knows I have a show, but after the show, I'll let her know. Today's topic. Now, I've been talking forever now, and I haven't even got to the topic. Isn't that crazy? I only got like 10 minutes to go. But that's okay, because guess what? It's Hospitality Unplugged, and guess what? It's my show. So if I take all day to get to the subject, then that's okay. But it has to do with social media again, right? Because, I think that we miss the point sometimes on social media and how important it is that we need to do. Now, it's not the end-all be-all, meaning we got to just put all our money in social media and that's it. But I think that we need to take advantage more of some of the opportunities. If that's, you know, with influencers, if that's with people like me, right? Someone asked me, was I an influencer? I'm like, I guess so. I mean, but I influence people for meetings, right? So I go on the site. I have a client. So I go on the site and I'm looking at different destinations, looking at hotels and things like that. And my job is to present my findings to my client, right? So if I go to 5 different hotels, my job is to compare those 5 hotels. I put it all in a spreadsheet, you know, the name of the hotel, how many rooms the hotels have, the rates, because the rates are the most important thing, right? The rates or the food and beverage minimums and things like that. So I present all that stuff to the client. And it's up to the client to decide which ones they're going to go with. But I'm there as a reference because I've been to the hotel. And I'm there if they have questions about the hotel. And I'm also there if they happen to ask me, hey, well, what do you think about this? Or which hotel would you choose for this particular program? And it's all, I try to look at everything, you know, all things considered, you know, what is this specific program? The program has to work for the hotel, or the hotel has to work for the program. You know, it's kind of interchangeable, right? So all hotels or all programs don't fit every hotel. I mean, you got to look at service. You got to look at a lot of different things. And when I go in a hotel, I'm not necessarily tearing that hotel apart, but I'm looking at certain things that maybe some other people wouldn't. So I draw all my experiences when I go to these hotels, right? So meaning my experiences, what do I mean by that? I mean, I used to be a housekeeping manager, right? So I look at things a little different than somebody that maybe was not a housekeeping manager, because I'm looking at, you know, how they, how the sheets are they fitted sheets? You know, some hotels actually have fitted sheets now. They don't just have the regular sheets where they're, you know, doing the hospital cover corners and all that stuff. Some actually have fitted sheets like you would have at home, right? I think that's actually easier for the housekeeper to deal with, but most hotels don't have that. But anyway, I don't even know why I got into that. But my job is, look, I'm looking at cleanliness. I'm running my hands across the, you know, the back, the headboard to see if there's dust on it. The counter in the bathroom, you'd be amazed if you pull back, like, you know, I don't know what they put, like the soap and, you know, all the shampoo and all those kind of things they put on the, those amenities they put on the counters and the, in the bathroom or the, yeah, in the bathroom area, the vanity area, that's what I'm trying to say. Rub your hand, move that stuff and move your, rub your hand across that and see if it's clean. I mean, that, those are things that I do. I look at soap scum. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, soap dishes. I'm rubbing my fingers to see if there's soap in there. I mean, I'm doing all kind of stuff like that because it tells me a story about the hotel. It tells me, are they, you know, are they aware of what's going on? Or are they being checked? Housekeepers, are they being checked? I mean, I can tell by, you know, let me go through a room and I can tell you exactly what's going on in there. So my perspective is a lot different than someone else, right? So as a meeting planner, am I better than anyone else? No, I just look at different things and I present those things. So if someone's asking me a question, what do I think about this particular hotel? I say, well, I would choose this one, and I'll give you the reason why I would choose that, this hotel. You know, I try to compare all of them, compare apples to apples, okay? All of them being the same, they may just have different names on the buildings, right? So that doesn't influence me. The name doesn't influence me. The type of commission doesn't influence me, because at the end of the day, it's about the client, right? Does the client, you know, do they want certain things? I mean, and that's how you have to get to know your client too. What is the client looking for? Do they just want a hotel because the rate is cheap? Or do they want an experience? Remember, it's always about the experience, right? And if I've had a good experience there, perhaps that will equate a good experience for the client. But sometimes we have to realize that when we go in there as planners, they're pulling out all the stops, right? Like, oh, we want this, we want business, we want this, we want that. But then when the client comes in with the group, you know, the same stuff, the same bells and whistles I got, they're not getting. So you got to make sure that, you know, the same things that you're getting. I mean, I don't need a suite when I go to the hotel. Give me the standard room, because I want the same room that the clients are going to get. The client's client is going to get, right? So give me that room. I don't need the suite. You know, throw me an amenity in there, you know, hey, you can do that. Throw me some trail mix or something like that. That's fine. But I don't need the same. I mean, I don't need the top suite or the corner room and things like that. I want what everyone else is going to get, because then that way there's a fair comparison for me. I mean, I want to see the suite just in case you have upgrades and things like that. But do I need to stay in it? Nah, I want to experience what everybody else experiences. So I got off on this whole thing. Was I an influencer? So yeah, I guess maybe so. I guess I just came up with that. I guess I am. So, but do we need to, let me just read this. Social media marketing agrees that hospitality industry should be doing more advertising via influencers and not using famous people. You know, just use regular people. Regular people with a following are more credible. So like, say, okay, I have 14,000 followers on Twitter, okay? So are more people going to listen to me because I go to all these hotels? Or are they going to, you know, see a, you know, a channel, or they're watching TV and they see The Rock. He's you know, advertising for a hotel, who would they listen to? I mean, who would they think was actually there? Is it The Rock? I mean, Rock carries a lot more weight and he probably has a lot more followers than I do. But is he more credible than someone that's been in the industry that's been there and that's kind of telling you things that about this hotel? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of where we are with this whole social media thing. You know, especially when it comes to using influencers. Is the Russell the influencer a better person for you to emulate or to follow than The Rock would be? I don't know. I mean, The Rock, that may be an unfair comparison because, like I said, the dude's in movies. He has probably a lot more. He does have a lot more followers than I do. But are you listening to that? I mean, that's kind of the thing. So I don't know. And it's one of those things that, you know, you just want to listen to. I'm just giving information. I'm just presenting it as I have it here. but it's up to us, I guess, to kind of figure it out. It's kind of up to us hotel people. Do we want to use influencers more or should we use them more? I kind of think we should use them for different things. I mean, what type of promotions are we doing? Do we want to get things out quickly? You know, is the message more targeted? Because a lot of these influencers, they can, now not all influencers are made the same. I'm telling you that for a fact, right? The ones that come up with a whole game plan, marketing plan, now those are the ones you want to pay attention to. Now the ones just want a free room or I can take a picture of me being in the room, you know, on the bed, you know, with a stuffed animal or something like that. I mean, that's not a game plan. That's not a strategy, right? That's just someone that's just there just to kind of show that I'm here and it's about them. It's not about it's not about the experience. I mean, you have to show, can you show experience online? Yeah, I think you can. Can you show someone that's genuine? Yeah, I think you can. Do you know the difference between someone who's just taking a picture of them and showing it or taking a picture actually of the product and showing the experience that are going on? That's what you need to be paying attention about. And that's exactly why, excuse me, when I do pictures and things like that, it's not about me. And I mentioned this earlier. I'm not in all the pictures. Okay. You look at all the stuff that I post. Now, if I'm with someone else, then yeah, I'm, you know, someone I haven't seen in a long time. We're taking a picture in front of something. Okay, that's fine. But if you look at most of the stuff that I post, it's not about me. It's about what I'm showing. It's about the destination. It's about the hotel. When I was in Alaska, I wasn't in every picture. I was showing, you know, glaciers because I wanted people to see on the cruise, you can see glaciers, right? And that's becoming rare because glaciers are going away, people. Did you know that? It's called global warming. Not to get all off in that, but a lot of glaciers that were there 10 years ago have dwindled or melted away. So, I mean, that's what I was trying to show. And maybe there's one picture of me, you know, the glacier in back of me, but I'm not the focal point. The glacier is the focal point. So just remember, when you're dealing with social media people, and I have more to go off of this, but I'm almost out of time, so I'm just kind of paraphrasing it now. So just remember, there's just some tips. So when you're dealing with social media people, do they have a game plan for you? Who can they reach? Look at their followers. How many followers do they have, and how much engagement do they have? Those are important things. And what can they expect to do for you? I mean, how long is this going to last? How many times are they going to post for you? Are they going to post once a day, three times a week? You know, I guess you have to find out, what do you want from them? Do you want more engagement? Are you trying to get this promotion out? Is a grand opening for something? Is your hotel, like, you're doing a grand reopening or you just rebranded and you want to get a bunch of influencers in there? You know, that's a good way to get your message out really quickly with hashtags and everything as well. You know, and every hashtag that I'm finding out, every hashtag is not a good hashtag, right? I was reminded of from a social media marketer basically told me, you know, some of the hashtags you're using are just hashtags. They're not going anywhere. They don't mean anything. So you have to be specific or be aware of what those hashtags are and what they mean. So there you go. So that's all I'm going to cover today. I did go over a lot of stuff and I kind of rambled on some things too, but you know what? That's okay because, it's On Air with Russell Hotel. So that's what we do. We kind of ramble. We kind of bounce around a little bit. But hopefully the information I was giving you is some good information, something that you can start with. It's not always the end all be all, but it's always the starting place, right? If you have any questions at all, please go to my, or please just email me at russell@russellofhotels.com and listen to me next week. I appreciate you guys. Have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. And thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.